Good morning. We're glad that you're joining us to hear the recorded morning service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday the 21st of February. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Wherever you are and whoever you are, welcome to our worship on this, the first Sunday in Lent. We have gathered to worship God, whose creative imagination never fails. We have gathered to praise our God, whose steadfast love never weakens. We have gathered to offer our best to God, who walks with us through eternity. Our opening hymn, Morning Has Broken. Let us pray. We shout for joy, O God, and we join the whole created universe in singing your praise. You dwell in glory unimaginable, yet you chose to make that glory visible in the most astonishing way, in and through a human person, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Through him you shared our human struggles, for he was tempted in every way as we are. He was able to confront and survive the wilderness experiences of life because his trust in you provided the strength he needed. We come before you, O God, as people who frequently stumble and lose the way because we fail to put our whole trust in you. but we gather in the wonderful knowledge that you never fail us. Forgive the silly sins of childhood, the exuberant sins of adolescence, the faded sins of aging. Forgive the sins we shout in the streets, the sins we whisper to ourselves. Forgive the sins we didn't give a second thought to, the sins we plot in the middle of the night. Forgive the flood of sins which threatens us, the wilderness of sin which we offer to others, the sin which seeks to imprison us. Forgive. Forgive us, good and gentle God. Forgive us and have mercy on us, so we might walk the path of faithfulness with Jesus to Jerusalem and beyond, so we might know your steadfast love in our lives. What can sustain us in the days to come? What will nourish us on our Lenten journey? Look, here is all the food we need: God's love, God's word, God's hope. Through the wilderness and into the kingdom of life, we are given daily bread for every day of the journey. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its more modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
God Sends a Rainbow by Ralph Milton. When people see a beautiful rainbow in the sky, they often think about God. When people long ago saw a rainbow, they thought about God too, and they remembered the story of the Noah family. They were sure the Noah family must have seen a wonderful rainbow after it had rained so hard. Maybe the rainbow was God's way of reminding them of the covenant. Here's a story they told about the rainbow. Everyone was so glad when the rain stopped and the flood was over. Noah's grandchildren climbed out of the smelly ark and rolled around on the new grass. It was such fun. "Well," sighed old Noah, "that was quite an adventure. I'm glad it's over." It wasn't over. The best part of the adventure was still to come. "I am going to make a covenant with you," said God. "This covenant will be for you and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children forever. My covenant is not just with you. It's with all of those animals and birds you had in the ark. In fact, it's with every living thing. My covenant is with the whole world." The Noah family must have been looking puzzled. They didn't really know what a covenant was. So God told them, "This covenant means that I promise not to send any more floods to cover the whole world. Even though people forget my love, I won't destroy everything the way I did this time. That's my part of the covenant. Here's your part. I am giving everything to you, the people of the world. The birds that fly in the air, the animals that walk on the ground, the fish in the sea, the grass and the flowers and the trees. Everything. It's yours. Please take good care of it. Be good to each other. Take care of each other. I don't want any more killing, and I have a special surprise to help you remember my covenant. Look. Then the whole world seemed to smile, a funny, upside-down kind of smile. It seemed as if everything was painted in colour. The Noah family and all the animals and birds just stopped and looked and said, "Ooh, wow," said one of the children in Noah's family. It was a rainbow, a glorious rainbow in all the colours of the world. "The rainbow is the sign of my covenant," said God. "Years and years from now, when people see my rainbow, they will remember my covenant with all the people of the world and with every living thing. As long as there is a world, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, when it's cold and when it's hot, day and night, whenever the sun shines through the rain, they will remember my promise. I will be their God, always, forever."
Our next hymn. O Lord, all the world belongs to you, and you are making all things new.
This is a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. God said to Noah and his sons, "I am now making my covenant with you and with your descendants, and with all living beings, all birds and all animals, everything that came out of the boat with you. With these words I make my covenant with you. I promise that never again will all living beings be destroyed by a flood. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. As a sign of this everlasting covenant which I am making with you and with all living beings, I am putting my bow in the clouds. It will be the sign of my covenant with the world. Whenever I cover the sky with clouds and the rainbow appears, I will remember my promise to you and to all the animals that a flood will never again destroy all living beings. When the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between me and all living beings on earth. That is the sign of the promise which I am making to all living beings. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. The baptism and temptation of Jesus. Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son, I am pleased with you." At once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Wild animals were there also, but angels came and helped him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Today's readings might make us wonder what season of the church we are really in. We hear the stuff of rainbows in Genesis and the skies opening and the Spirit descending in Mark. The theme is ever the same. God's word is shattering the remnants of an old creation and making it all anew. Light is coming out of darkness. Colour is flowing from a rainbow. A new life is rising from the waters of baptism. And a Saviour stands up, anointed by the Spirit, in the waters of the Jordan. This is the symbolism of Epiphany, the season we have just left. We have all been there. Do you remember the joy and wonder of the last beautiful sunset you stopped to watch? Do you remember how a good book so transformed your point of view that the world would never, ever look the same? Perhaps it was a dinner with someone you loved, or a piece of music on the radio that haunted you with its beauty. For some, it was the experience of a fabulous retreat, or a summer holiday in an exotic place, or maybe a long walk in the woods, or even a swim at the beach. For others, it was reaching the summit of a challenging peak, or even the joy of a gift they never expected to receive. The list is as endless as our experiences. But we all know these times. They shape our lives, remake them, pushing us around a corner where we bump into joy. These are all epiphanies, just as real, if not more so, than the experiences of Noah and his family leaving the ark, or of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. It is very human for us to want to stay there, to enjoy that sunset forever, to grasp a warm moment and cling to it for the peace it brings, the prosperity that touches our hearts, minds and bodies so deeply that words fail us. We want to stay in Epiphany, smiling at the image of the Christ child, rejoicing with Simeon in the temple, marvelling at the transfiguration of Jesus. As Peter said when confronted by the presence of Moses and Elijah with Jesus on the mountaintop, updating it for our own time, "Let's build a place to live up here, so we can wake up each morning and admire the view. Let's capture the moment and have it for ourselves right here, forever if we can." But then here comes the challenging part. Epiphany is over, and Lent is here. And with Mark's Gospel, we're straight into it. He gives us a snapshot in words of a few brief scenes in the life of Jesus. First scene. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the second scene. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Third scene. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." What Clint Eastwood is to acting, Mark is to gospel writing. A minimalist. What takes the other gospel writers paragraphs and paragraphs to describe, Mark renders in just 130 words. And in the midst of all this is the wilderness. Jesus doesn't get lost or stumble into the wilderness. Jesus is not there by accident or by misfortune, but deliberately, decisively driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. There for 40 days, there to be tested and tempted, and thereby equipped, set, and prepared for his mission. And like Israel, Jesus emerged from the wilderness ready and eager to obey and accomplish God's will and purpose. We too have our wilderness places and experiences. The wilderness comes in many ways, in many places. There is the wilderness of a doctor's office and a frightening diagnosis. There is the wilderness of grief. There is the wilderness of depression. The barrenness of a dead-end job or financial losses. The wasteland of broken relationships and cold regrets. The emptiness and desolation of failure and defeat, or awakening to find that life has somehow passed by. The wilderness is not geography. It is theology. The wilderness is where we feel abandoned, lost, wandering, in danger. There are so many more wildernesses. The wilderness is where we are alone and overwhelmed. Jesus is thrown into the wilderness, driven into the wilderness. Let's leave Jesus there for a moment and look at another wilderness experience. Noah and the flood. Genesis traces a history of violence and human self-seeking that leads God to decide to start over, to recreate the world. The flood is God recreating, and at the centre of the story, at the centre of all stories about God, is a person who is asked to have faith and do what God says. Noah is told to build a craft to save the world. The instructions are as precise as a set of boat plans ordered online. He builds it. It floats. His family and the animals with him survive. At the end of their voyage, there is a rainbow. And the rainbow is a symbol of a promise God makes. A covenant. This is a wilderness story, though we may not see it immediately. Over and over again, human communities have felt themselves wiped out, their homes, their fields turned into wilderness by some natural phenomena. A flood, a hurricane, a tornado, a wildfire. God's promise is that the wilderness is not the end of the story. God's promise is hope for presence beyond the wilderness. We read these stories and can argue about whether they are true or not true. There are TV specials about finding the ark as if it's waiting to be found, as if it's sitting somewhere just waiting for someone to trip over it. But this isn't an event. This is an experience. The event has been overwhelmed by the experience. The experience is there, that there are moments when we feel wiped out. There are moments when we feel overwhelmed, drowned by a flood we cannot resist. There are moments when we feel God has given up on us. What threatened your very existence? This is the flood. You don't have to go to look for it in the mountains of Turkey or wherever Mount Ararat may be located. It's here. It's in your memory. What threatened to wipe you out? Maybe it was a death. Maybe it was a disaster. Maybe it was an illness. Sometimes the flood is a divorce, especially if it comes upon you unexpectedly. Your whole life is changed. Your home is gone. You can never go back to who you were, what you were. And you can never go back. Whatever experience, whatever flood brings you to the wilderness, eventually we are all confronted with how to live in there. Now the whole point of these accounts is to give us tools to live right now, not to argue about what happened long ago. The whole purpose of these stories is to teach us to live God's way. After the flood, in the wilderness, there is a promise. And this is God's promise. I'm never going to give up on you. I am never going to give up on you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how bad things get. I am never going to give up on you. I promise. You may give up on your job. You may give up on yourself. I am never going to give up on you. I promise. Now let's return to Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus has three encounters there. He is tempted by the Satan. He is with the wild animals. He is waited on by angels. That sounds to me like a description of many of the experiences of life in which we suddenly find ourselves. Places where we are brought without preparation, without experience, without signposts. Places where we are afraid. Temptation is always present. It is the possibility of choosing to live on our own, to believe we can be enough ourselves, that we can live apart from God's purpose and presence. But what sustains Jesus in the wilderness isn't his own power. It is the natural web of life, the wild animals and the angels who wait on him. This is how God is arching over the world. This is how God is giving us a foundation for our future. It begins with a promise and a covenant. The rainbow is a symbol of that covenant. Out there in the wilderness there are terrors, but there are angels too. There are people who remind us that God has made a covenant, a promise. And God's hope is that we will have the faith to recognize them and wait for them. That we will know they are there because God has not given up on us. And so we have entered Lent. And we know where Lent is leading. We know what happens on Good Friday. The message of Lent is not complete without the message of Easter. That is, with God, what looks like defeat can be turned into victory. Death is not the end. Death by earthly enemies is not the end. Life as God intended it will indeed ultimately win. We can count on this. Yet the message for us is the same as it was for Jesus. We can't go from the affirmation of God's love at baptism to the glory of Easter. It is only in the real and hard world of life that the message becomes real. It is only in the paradox of the gospel that we find truth. We are people on a journey of faith, seeking light and life and truth. We are people seeking to follow wherever it may lead us, sometimes succeeding, sometimes failing, but always knowing the love and care of a God who names us as his own and calls us to journey in hope and faithfulness. So if we have come looking for glory, we will not find it here. If we have come looking for an easier life, we will not find it here. If we have come looking for fame and fortune, we will not find it here. If we have come to be told we are terrific and to have nothing whatsoever expected of us, then we will not find it here. On the other hand, if we have come to find a meaning in life beyond the superficial, we have come to the right place and time. If we have come to put our hand in the hand of the one who can show us the way through the temptation to be less than we are, then we have come to the right place and time. If we have come to face our deepest fears and deepest longings and know that we are able to come out on the other side, then we have come to the right place and we are on the road to Easter. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. Father, hear the prayer we offer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with so many things on our mind, so many people to pray for, so many situations which need your help and direction in this country and in the world. We want to leave it all in your hands to make it all come right. But we know we all have to be responsible, make decisions, do what we can, trusting you to guide us. Help us to know how to listen to you, prompting us to say or do something for someone, however small, for people in difficult situations who are ill or alone. We also want to ask you to guide those in the world who have to make such big decisions for the health and well-being of their country. Too many to mention all. But we think and pray for one or two we are particularly concerned for, in the quiet of our own hearts. We ask for your help and strength for the many working in hospitals. Even as we sit quietly at home, thinking and praying for those we know in the local hospitals. We pray for young people affected by schools being closed, for their mental and emotional health, so that they can find a way through. We ask you to guide those in the Sutton Schools work, finding a way to get into some schools to show the video of the story of the first Easter, so that some children will find real hope and purpose in life. We commit our families to you for your guidance and perseverance for all the mums, dads, grandparents trying to homeschool their children, and for any families we know of with health problems. Help and guide us as individuals to want to grow in our faith and experience of your presence with us day by day. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our final hymn, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, you called your disciples to go forward with you on the way to the cross. Since you first walked that road, countless millions have followed you. In all that we do as your disciples, save us from false familiarity with your journey. May we never presume to step into your shoes, but make us small enough to fit our own and to walk in love and wonder behind you. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen. Thank you.